Welcome to Talk of the Town. I'm Sherry Gibson, joined today by Dr. Keith Martin, who is FHN Chief Medical Officer. And as always, good to see you, Doc Martin. I'm sure you referred to that more times than not,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
You are going to be sharing some information with our listeners today, talking about advanced directives. And can you explain what an advanced directive is?
Sure. Advanced directives are things that we utilize in terms of trying to organize someone's wishes for healthcare decision making in the future. It's basically a set of written statements or directives on healthcare decisions that the person desires when they do not have the ability to make those decisions themselves.
Do you find that most people have those in place?
Actually, not enough do. I can't say that most do. A lot of folks do address this ahead of time, but that's our effort at FHN, is to try and help our communities gain some self-awareness of these options, because it really does help families when it's that time.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be an end-of-life situation, does it?
No, it doesn't, but it is more directed towards end-of-life decisions. But certainly anyone over the age of 18 can have something happen at a, you know, they're at risk for accidents like everyone else. And those kinds of situations require some severe decision-making things that occur in families. And that's why we want to try and get those things in place as early as possible.
Do you find that people that are younger, 18, 20, 25, it's more difficult to get them to talk about it? Because I think at that age, we all kind of feel invincible.
Absolutely. And even caregivers really don't give it much thought. You know, as we really delve into the weeds with folks that are taking care of younger folks, I do that on the OB side, you know, you don't really think of those things. But, you know, like I said, these things are utilized in those situations to make those decisions easier.
Now, the advance directive is not just one document. Is that correct?
Correct.
Can you tell us what it consists of?
Sure. And that varies by state, but specifically in the state of Illinois, it requires three documents to cover situations that we would like to see covered for families. You know, those documents can have some common denominators between them, but they're designed to cover all of the gaps that may occur in those situations.
Such as?
Well, the first document that we always talk about is a power of attorney. Healthcare power of attorney basically designates a person that you want making medical decisions for you in those situations when you can't make those decisions yourself. That person is referred to as an agent, but that person makes all decisions regarding your health care in the event of a catastrophic event. And that situation covers very specific situations, but that's just one of the documents. Another document that we want folks to take a look at is called a living will. A living will is a little bit different in that it doesn't designate a person to make those decisions, but it does outline a person's wishes on what they would desire in a situation in the future. There is a third document called a POLST form. That's an acronym, P-O-L-S-T. That situation actually covers more of the emergency type of situations when a person is critically ill. That's more of an end-of-life form. So they're all a little bit different, but they're all designed to put into place those things that a person wants in those emergency situations.
Now, is that also referred to as a DNR, do not resuscitate? Is that the same thing?
Yeah, it's a great question. That's a great question. Yes. Each state is a little bit different, and that's the POLST form really is taking the place of what people know as the DNR form. And there is a specific difference. The DNR is part of the POLST in the sense of the DNR simply talked about whether someone wanted to be resuscitated for cardiopulmonary resuscitation. But the POLST covers all those additional things in addition to that. You talk about things like life-sustaining medications, pain medications, anything above supportive care, nutrition, feeding tubes, those kinds of things. And the POLST is a little bit different in that it's a medical order. And that comes into play when there is a specific emergency. And emergency medical technicians and folks that come in the ambulance, they have to follow standard medical protocols unless they have a doctor's order that specifically tells them what they should or shouldn't do. So even if a person says, I don't want this, this, or this, if it's an EMT responding, they're obligated to follow what they're supposed to do, unless they have a pulsed, which is a medical order signed by a doctor or an advanced practitioner stating otherwise.
So if somebody has currently a DNR, should they now get a pulsed?
Ideally, for the state of Illinois, yes. Okay. Illinois Department of Public Health actually has the form available for those reasons, yes. Just because over time we've discovered that families are put in these situations where there are decisions beyond just cardiopulmonary resuscitation. So it's designed to really help in a more thorough manner.
So what happens if somebody doesn't have these forms in place and they're faced with a situation?
Well, that's life as we know it. In catastrophic illnesses, it's people in the medical field will respond to emergencies and make decisions based on doing everything we can for folks. But if, you know, there are these documents in place that would state otherwise, then we would have those desires fulfilled.
So, for instance, somebody could say, I don't want to be kept alive on a machine.
Right.
Indefinitely. That would be kind of one of these things that would fall under these forms, right?
Absolutely. Those things that we really don't like to talk about, but mm-hmm. are real. And, you know, at FHN, we truly believe that if we're going to help the communities at a high level, we really want to get these things in place to make sure that we're helping families the way they want to be helped.
Do people sometimes misunderstand and think, well, if I sign these forms, then, you know, I'm 40 years old, they're not going to help me? That's not the case, right?
No, not at all. And I think that most of those questions can be answered by obviously having a discussion that's frank with your healthcare provider.
Because mm-hmm. Everybody's situations are different.
Absolutely. And FHN has a lot of resources and people available to really fill in those gaps regarding those questions and types of situations.
So once somebody has these forms in place, they can change them at any time, can't they?
Yes. Great question. Absolutely. In fact, our policy within our healthcare organization, really, ideally, we want to look at those things once a year, even once they are in place. Because, you know, you make a decision at 30, obviously life looks differently at 50.
Right.
And those directives may look different. So, yes, we want to retouch those on a regular basis to try and keep them up to date.
So are these kind of a fill-in-the-blank kind of a form?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can actually obtain the forms and fill them out yourself without a discussion with a healthcare provider. But as we've touched on, there are certain situations where I think a discussion is helpful. But yes, you can fill them out, certainly.
And otherwise, do the physicians at FHN, do they have these documents available if somebody is talking to their primary care, for example, and they say, I want to learn more about these. Do you actually have the forms to help them?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Yep, that's our effort. We have at all FHN facilities the ability to address that and be able to provide the forms.
So, Dr. Martin, where can people find out more about this? We've kind of just gone over the surface, so to speak. Where can they get more details? You already said from their physicians, but is there anywhere else they can find information?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it can vary, but you can certainly contact FHN. FHN has various resources. We actually have an advanced directives hotline. That's 599-7080, 599-7080. So you can find out talking to someone one-on-one. We also, through our website at fhn.org, have the ability to find those resources through the website. And certainly at any FHN facility, the folks that are medical staff that staff those facilities have the information available.
It's not a topic that people probably like talking about, but like you said, it's real life. And I personally, I'd rather have that information about what I want rather than somebody else making the decision.
Absolutely.
Should it be needed.
Absolutely. It's a very difficult part of life, but, you know, to be respectful of the individual that goes through that phase, if we're talking about end-of-life type of situations, we really want to respect what they desire and make sure we have things in place so the families do not struggle through those times.
Could you share with us once again the website and that advanced directive hotline, if you would?
Sure. It's fhn.org, and those resources are available on the website itself. And the hotline, if you want to call directly, is 815-599-7080.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Been visiting today with Keith Martin, Dr. Keith Martin of FHN, Chief Medical Officer, today on Talk of the Town.